bottom of Gimel Med Aleph. We'd actually reach the top of Gimel Med Beis, but just to pick up the thread of the Gemara, let's review some to the bottom of Gimel Med Aleph. So about 9 lines from the bottom, the Gemara says, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, of Yehuda Amr Rav at the beginning of the line, the Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, Kohanim b'avodasim levim b'duchanan v'yisrab b'ma'amadam, Kulam b'vatan avodasim b'anishma nekim megillah. So the avoda is disrupted, Kohanim from doing the avoda, levim from singing Yeshua, the Yisraelim from their accompanying tfilos, they all disrupt the normal Seder avoda to come here in Megillah. Tanya Namihachi, we have a brisa which corroborates Rav's Halacha, Kohanim b'avodasim levim b'duchanan v'yisrab b'ma'amadam, Kulam b'vatan avodasim b'anishma nekim megillah. Now, says the Gemara, that in Beis Rabbi, they then extrapolated from this, that Mikan Samchush of Beis Rabbi, Shem Evatlan Talmud Torah, Varnashma Mikra Megillah. That in Beis Rabbi, they reasoned that if you have to disrupt the Avodah to come hear the Megillah, then you have to disrupt Talmud Torah to come hear the Megillah as well. And what's the source for this? Kal v'chol m'me Avodah. It's a Kal v'chol m'me Avodah. Uma Avodah shehi chamura. Mivatlinan, we're supposed to disrupt the Avodah, which is more chomor than Talmud Torah, which outweighs Talmud Torah. We're supposed to disrupt Avodah in order to come here to Megillah. Talmud Torah, lo kol shekein. Now, so the premise, right, the base rabbi just seemed to be assuming axiomatically that Avodah is chamura from Talmud Torah, correct? That Avodah is chamura from Talmud Torah. And that's the basis for their line of reasoning. So the Gemara comes and the Gemara challenges this. And the Gemara says, Va'avodah chamura mitalmud Torah. Is that really true? What Beis Rabbi are assuming, that avodah outweighs Talmud Torah, is that really true? V'haksiv, v'yihi v'yos Yehoshua, v'yiricho v'yisra eina v'yav, hina isha omed v'negdo. Vayishtachu, so Yeshua sees this person approaching him, and he bows. So now the Gemara digresses for a minute. Vehechi Yavid Hachi, how did Yeshua do this? Vahamer Abshur ben Levi, also Lodom Shiten Shalom Lechaver Balayla, Chayashin and Shem Hashedhu, that a person is not supposed to greet an anonymous figure at night. Shem Hashedu, maybe it's a shade. Answer the Gemara Shani Hasam, the Amalei Ki Ani Sitzar Tzva Hashem. Since the person invoked Shem Shamayim, he identified himself as an Isa Tzva Hashem, so Yehoshua knew that it wasn't a shade. Says the Gemara, the Dilma Meshakre, a shade of Allah above lying, so maybe he was telling a lie. Answer to the Gemara, Gemira, we have a tradition, Delam Mafke Shem Shamayim Levatala. Maybe they would tell a lie, but everyone has their code of honor, right? And even in the Den of Shadim, there's a code of honor. And the code of honor in the Den of Shadim is that Lam Mafke Shem Shamayim Levatala. They won't say Shem Shamayim in vain. Now, comes the Gemara to the point which is relevant to us at the moment. Amalo. So the Malach says to Yehoshua, Emesh Bitaltam Tam, he comes and indicts Yehoshua and calls Yisrael for two things. First of all, Emesh, last evening, Bitaltam Tam Shal Ben Arbayim, you didn't offer the Talmud of the Ben Arbayim, V'achshav, and now at night, Bitaltam Talmud Torah. And that's why I'm coming representing the Midas Hadin. So Amalo, so Yehoshua says to him, Al-Eza Mehen Bosa. So Amalo Ato Bosi, which Tosus again, we saw the Tosus correlating this with the Pasuk in Vayelech of Ato Kisru Lachem as Hashira Hazos is a remiss to Torah. So the Malach indicated to Yehoshua that even though they were guilty of Bittul Avoda and Bittul Talmud Torah, he was coming to, again, representing the Midas Hadin because of the Bittul Talmud Torah. So don't you see that Talmud Torah is more chomer than Avodah, right? Contrary to the assumption of Beis Rabbi. Miyad says the Gemara, again, this the Gemara is just telling us that the presenting this discussion in its entirety, even though for our present purposes we only need to excerpt part of it, Miyad v'yalan Yeshua v'layla hu v'socha. Emek amr v'yachanan v'lam yishaman v'omka shal halacha. Fine, so Yeshua, therefore, in the future, he corrected this stuff, and at night, when they weren't fighting, and it wasn't Zman Melchama, so at night, they in fact saw to it that they engaged in Talmud Torah. V'amar Shmuel Ba'unya, and we derive from this encounter of Yehoshua with the Malach, that Godel Talmud Torah, Yosimak Rovitzmiya, the Talmud Torah is greater than Avodah. Even the Avodah of Tumidim, which is on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael, Shenema Atobasi. Okay, so doesn't this contradict the axiom of Beis Rebbe? So the Gemara answers, Lokashya Hada Rabim Hada Yachid. Meaning, that when we say that when in the story with Yehoshua, which implies that Talmud Torah is Chom L'Fam Avodah, that means Talmud Torah de Rabim. When Beis Rebbe assumed that Avodah is Chamura, it means Avodah is Chamura vis-a-vis Talmud Torah de Yachid, right? So that's our the series of inequalities we have here is that Talmud Torah de Rabim is Chamura from Avodah, and Avodah in turn is Chamura from Talmud Torah of a Yachid, right? So there's an obvious question which Rabbeinu Chananel and Rashi anticipate for us. I mean, Beis Rebbe was also Talmud Torah de Rabbi, right? Beis Rebbe wasn't two or three people learning. It was certainly Rabbim. It was 10 and more. So that was certainly Talmud Torah de Rabbim also. So how did we solve the problem, right? Beis Rebbe were assuming that in their context, Avodah is Chamura, right? Vis-a-vis their Talmud Torah, Avodah is Chamura. Hence, they had their derivation of if you're Mevatel Avodah, the Shema Mikra Megillah, then we certainly have to be Mevatel our Talmud Torah, right? So they were ranking their Talmud Torah, that their Talmud Torah was less than Avodah. But there was also Talmud Torah de Rabbim. So Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, obviously sensitive to this kasha. So if you take a look here at the top Rashi in Gimel Amid Beis, so Rashi says, Hadu Rabbim, the Hasam Kol Yisrael Havu. That Talmud Torah de Rabbim in this context doesn't mean what Rabbim generally means. Rabbim generally means a minion. And in this context, Rabbim means of Kol Yisrael. Take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel, says the same thing. You look around six lines into the Rabbeinu Chananel. Hinei Talmud Torah Chomo Me'avoda, right? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Contrary to what Beis Rebbe were assuming axiomatically, Uparkinan Hosam Gabi Yoshua Talmud Torah D'Chol Yisrael. Ulificha Chomo Me'avoda, right? Same thing as Rashi's following the Rabbeinu Chananel here. Okay. So here there's a fascinating order from which is quoted from the Velvel. And that is, this seems to be a rather singular halacha. We don't really find this in other contexts that there's such a clear qualitative difference between Stamat Tzibur and when you have Kol Yisrael. Usually that qualitative leap is made from less than a minion to a minion. But beyond a minion, okay, so let's say in Brachos, you have a Machlokes Tanoim, right? So the Birkas Hazimun changes from less than a minion to a minion. We add a volcano. So then there's a view in the Tanoim that you change it again for 100 and you change it again for what is it, 1,000, 10,000. And when we don't even pass it like that, we say no, that the point at which you make a qualitative leap is just when you have a minion. So this is a rather, again, unusual halacha that the extra numbers should make such a big difference. So Velvel says, no, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. What it means is as follows. And here he introduces a concept, we'll see that the Rav introduced this as well. They both noticed the following line in the Rambam's Hagdama to the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam writes as follows. Rambam begins the Hakdama by saying that all of Torah, both Torah Shav Bichsav and Torah Shav Alpeh, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah before he died. He gave a Sefer Torah to each of the Shvatim, and he put one Sefer Torah in the Aron, and Torah Shebal Peh remained exactly that, right? And then the Rambam writes as follows, Afal pi shelom nichtava Torah Shebal Peh, limda Moshe Rabbeinu kula beveis dino v'shivim zekenim. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Shebal Peh was never written down at this point. Moshe Rabbeinu taught it to the Shivim Zekenim, and then the Rambam writes, we have to pay careful attention to these next two, three lines. Elazar, right? Elazar HaKohen, Upinchas v'Yehoshua shloshim kiblu mimoshe. Right? Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, all three were mekabel for Moshe. What does that mean? They were mekabel everything, right? Everything which Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be Moser as part of Mesiras HaTorah, they were mekabel. They were mekabel. Whether or not Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be Moser, everything that he himself knew, is a different question. That's a different question. Could be that he didn't. It depends on how you understand Pshat in the famous Gemara in Menachos. Right? The Gemara in Menachos tells the story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Moshe Rabbeinu in a time machine and fast forwards into the generation of Rabbi Akiva, and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in the back row in the Beis Medrash, and he doesn't understand the Shir. He doesn't understand Rabbi Akiva's Shir. And he has Agnes Nefesh from it, and then someone asks Rabbi Akiva, how do you know this? And Rabbi Akiva says, Halacha l'Moshe Mishimei. And then Nocha Daita. So the question is, so how did Moshe Rabbeinu not understand the Shir? So some say that the scene which is depicted in this Agadita is before the 40 days, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu all of Torah. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know everything yet. And others say no. Others say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kernel of everything that would be said in subsequent generations was all contained within what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But lav dafka, that it was all already inferred, that it was all already deduced. Now, if you say that Moshe Rabbeinu knew everything, actually, not just that the kernel, the basis for everything that would ever be said, but Moshe Rabbeinu already knew everything, and that seems to be the simple mashmos, and Chazal say that kol ma shetalmud vosik osu l'chadesh, it's for namel al Moshe Mishinai. So how come the Talmud Vosik was able to be Mechadish? How come this wasn't transmitted? Moshe Rabbeinu already knew it. So apparently, according to that approach, that Moshe Rabbeinu was told everything just for his own personal fulfillment, for his own personal perfection. But not everything Moshe Rabbeinu was told was he supposed to be necessarily be Moshe. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was told every Drush V'Chidush and Rabbi Kiva Eger, and every Reb Chaim in his Sefer on the Rambam, so Moshe Rabbeinu was told, this is for you. This is a pre-publication copy, do not circulate, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu was told, this you're not supposed to. All the halacha of Moshe Mishinai, all these other things, yeah, that you're supposed to include in the Masor, but this is just for you. Okay, so whatever. So whether Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them everything he knows, or whether Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to hold back because he's been told everything that's going to be mischadesh throughout the generations. So that's a different story. But either way, so Moshe Rabbeinu is then giving them the entire corpus of Torah Shebal Peh, which is supposed to be Nimsa, right? And who receives it? Elazar, Pinchas, v'Yoshua, Shloshtem kiblu mimoshe, right? So they're all on equal footing, right? Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua. Then the Rambam says, "V'li Yehoshua shehu talmido shel Moshe Rabbeinu, mosar Torah shebal peh v'tzivahu aleha." So what does that mean? So now the Rambam says, "No, but Yehoshua stands out, right? He just said that no, that Elazar, Pinchas, Yeshua, they were all mekabel from Moshe. They all got 100 on the tests. Every test, all three got 100, right? Elazar, Pinchas, and Yeshua." So what does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was mitzaveh es Yehoshua, that he charged Yehoshua, right? It's tzivui in the sense of giving someone a charge. That he was mitzaveh es Yehoshua on Torah Shebal Peh. So both Reb Vavel and the Rav say that you see from the Rambam that in a minute we'll have to, again, flesh this out and give the exact parameters. But what you see from this Rambam is the following idea. And that is that when Torah Shebal Peh was just that, purely Bal Peh, and was transmitted from generation to generation Bal Peh, so it wasn't simply the Pshat that the Chachamim of the previous generation were considered trustworthy and credible to tell us that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Misinai, that Or LaSchutz La'aretz is Halacha Moshe Misinai. No, it wasn't simply a question of credibility, but beginning with Moshe Rabbeinu's being Mitzaves Yehoshua, it's almost as though that there was a type, that there was a form of a minui, of an appointment, that one was recognized as the Baal Masorah. And that was more than simply a function of having received and absorbed everything, but there was a type of minui, there was a type of appointment to now be the definitive moser of Torah Shebal Peh to the next generation. And that's what apparently that Yehoshua was singled out from this group of three. Yehoshua was singled out. Again, Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua, Shloshet and Kiblu Mimoshe, right? The three of them, again, were all outstanding. They were all mekabel, everything from Moshe. And nevertheless, the Rambam goes on to say, "Well, Yehoshua, Shu Talmido Shal Moshe Rabbeinu, Mosar Torah Shebal Peh, B'tzivahu Aleha." Right? There's a difference between Mesira and Kabbalah. Kabbalah just means, again, you learned, you know, you absorb. And Mesira means, again, that Al Pidin, there is a Chaloshei Masorah in the sense that, again, the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was authoritative in his presentation of Torah Shebal Peh, so then that mantle, so again, Elazar, Pinchas, they all knew everything Moshe Rabbeinu taught, just like Yehoshua did, but that mantle of now being the Moser, Torah Shebal Peh, to the next generation, was given to Yehoshua. Again, I'll try to flesh this out some more. This is reinforced, that this is correct. The Rambam then continues and describes the Shalshalas HaMasorah. He describes the chain of Masorah and how the Masorah was handed off from each generation to the next. Then the Rambam summarizes the 40 generations. The Rambam says there were 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rav Ashi. Until the Sof Chachmei HaGemara, there were 40 generations. And the Rambam then traces them backwards in time, Rav Ashi Merav, Rav Merav, etc. And then the Rambam says the last two steps, which get us back to Moshe Rabbeinu, is Eli Mipinchas, right? Eli received from Pinchas. Pinchas received from Yehoshua, that's Lamed Ches. Yehoshua mi Moshe Rabbeinu, and number 40 is Moshe Rabbeinu mi Pi HaGevurah. And Moshe Rabbeinu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Pinchas received the Masorah from Yehoshua. What do you mean Pinchas? Why did Pinchas need to receive the Masorah from Yehoshua? Pinchas learned directly with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That's what we just read over here. That Pinchas, that Allah said Pinchas Yehoshua Shloshim Kiblu Mimoshe. So why does Pinchas have, so it means, no, in terms of what he knew, but again, that mantle of being the authoritative Moser of Torah Shebal Peh, that mantle Pinchas only acquired from Yehoshua. That he hadn't received from Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yehoshua did. We'll again try to explain this some more in a minute, but just not to lose sight of our Gemara, how this ties into our Gemara. So what Rav Avel said in our Gemara is as follows. He says, what Talmud Torah de Rabbi mean, what Rashi and Rabbi Chanano mean when they say Kol Yisrael, so it's not just a function of that when Yeshua said Ashir, so he attracted a big crowd and he had all of Yisrael coming to his Shi'ur. No, because again, that would just be, again, we don't really find that within a Tzibur that this a qualitative leap from a smaller tzibur to a larger tzibur. What it means here of Talmud Torah de Rabbi means that when Yehoshua was saying a shir, so that he was being moser Torah, because Yehoshua had this mantle that Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yehoshua right when he was dying. So in Parshas Pinchas, when Moshe Rabbeinu hands the torch over to Yehoshua, so he tells him, until now, for these 40 years, so it's been my job to be the authoritative Moser of Torah Shebal Peh. So now that torch is being handed to you. That torch is being handed to you. So when Yehoshua, that's what it means, that when Yehoshua said a shir, that it was Talmud Torah Derabin. Not simply that there were more people, that it wasn't just 100 people like that in Beis Rabbi or whatever, but it was 600,000 people. No, but this was the Torah of Klal Yisrael, Torah Shebal Peh, was being nimsaris when Yehoshua, because of his status, was teaching Torah. That's what Rav Velvel says is the pshat in this Gemara. Let's just try to explain a little bit more. Again, this notion of Mesiras HaTorah. First of all, just one or two. See, this would also explain, maybe we'll do it by accounting for something else. I don't know, I didn't see this quoted by Shem Mivel, but Mistama, he, I'm guessing that if he didn't say it, that he would have said it. See, one of the questions which the Nosei Kelim raise is that the Rambam doesn't. Now, based on our Gemara, so what would we have expected to find in the Rambam? What would we have expected to find in the Rambam? We would have expected to find that the Rambam should say Mevatlan Talmud Torah, Lishma Mikra Megillah, but not Talmud Torah Derabin, right? Not Talmud Torah Derabin. So you don't have that din, you don't find in the Rambam. Okay. So the truth is that even without this Revelvel's whole pshat in the Rambam, that the Rambam is okay because, I mean, nowadays, once Klal Yisrael is dispersed, so there is no possibility, even without Rav Velvel's pshat, there's no possibility. I don't know, I guess maybe nowadays you could have someone who gives a shiur on the internet. I don't know. So maybe nowadays we would have recovered that capacity. But until these days of science fiction, so it just wasn't real. You couldn't have this Talmud Torah Derabin. So maybe that's why the Rambam doesn't mention it. But the truth is that according to this Mahalach of Rav Velvel, there's another reason for not mentioning it as well. And that is, if you come back to the Rambam's Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, so in the Rambam's Hakdama, see, he traces the Shalshalos HaMasorah from Moshe Rabbeinu down to the days of Ravashi and Ravina. By contrast, if you look at the Me'iri in his Hakdama to Beis HaBechira, so he traces the Shalshalos HaKabbalah all the way down to his day. He takes you from after the Chasimus HaGemara, he takes it through the Tzkufas HaGaonim and through the Tzkufas HaRishonim until his day. So the question is, how come the Rambam only gave the first half of the course in history and it's only the Me'iri who gave the second half of the second half of the course. So in Nefesh HaRav, so Shechter quotes from the Rav's father a very beautiful explanation. Very beautiful explanation. That Enoch Navi, that the Rambam could have traced it. He could have told you as Rav Shuragon did it to his day, and the Me'iri did it to his day. He could have told us who the leading Chachmei HaMasorah were in each generation after the Gemara as well, after Ravina and Ravashi, but he doesn't for the following reason. And that is that there was a qualitative change in the type of Masorah with Chasimas HaGemara. It was a qualitative change. What does that mean? Not Rachman al-Atlan, that there isn't Masorah today. Of course there is, but there was a qualitative change in the type of Masorah that we had. And what was responsible for that change was that until the Chasimus HaGemara, the Mesira of Torah Shebal Peh was basically Baal Peh. Aye, but didn't Rabbeinu HaKadosh write down the Mishnah? So how can we say that this change happens only at the end of the Zman of the Chachmei HaGemara? Didn't that change happen already with Rabbeinu HaKadosh? So there are one of two answers. Either this is the answer which Rav Shechter suggests. In the Igeres of Shruvagon, there are two Gisels. It's well known that Rav Shruvagon has two Gisels as to what Rabbeinu HaKadosh actually did. So the more popular notion is that, what we learned when we're young is that Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote down Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Okay, that's like according to one Nusach in the Igeres of Rav Shruvagon, that is what he did. According to the others, it's not. That Rabbeinu HaKadosh basically introduced a standard curriculum of how Torah Sheba'al Peh should be learned. The Torah Sheba'al Peh was learned, again, that everyone now learned the same Seder with the same Nusach HaMishnayos from Brachos to Uksin, but Rabbeinu HaKadosh didn't write it down. It wasn't written down until later. So certainly, if you assume that understanding, so then certainly then we understand how the Masorah of Torah Sheba'al Peh remained just that, even post Rabbeinu HaKadosh, even during the time of the Chachmei HaGemara. But the evidence is, even if you take the other Girsa and Rav Shruvagon, it's also true. The Tosfos Yom Tov points out in one place, you have, right, very often you encounter in the Gemara, the Gemara will say, the Tana in the base medrash of such and such an Amora. So you mean the Tana in the base medrash of such and such an Amora? It's Rip Van Winkle, he fell asleep and he didn't realize that he wasn't supposed to be there, and the Tkufas HaTanam ended 100 years ago, he didn't realize that he just woke up. So what do you mean the Tana in the base medrash of the Amora? So the Tosfos Yom Tov says, no, what it means is that even Bizman HaAmorayim, they basically, again, and this is even assuming that it had been written down, is they didn't use it. They didn't learn it mitoch haksav. There was still tanoim, again, not with the historical association of when they were living, but in terms of using the term as people who would say mishnayos, brises, baal peh. They used to still say and repeat the teachings and the sayings from the earlier generations of the Tanan. They used to still say it baal peh. And as a matter of fact, the Tosfos Yom Tov points out, he says that, and even when Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote it down, he says, Mishnayos are written so tersely that it wasn't that Rabbeinu HaKadosh intended that at this point, the just learning from the text would be self-sufficient. He says, no, you can't begin to make heads or tails. If you had to just deal with the Mishnah, and there hadn't been an ongoing primary Masorah of Torah Sheba'al Peh, so you wouldn't be able to make heads or tails out of so many things in the Mishnah. That even the way Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote it down, he was still relying heavily on an ongoing Masorah which would remain Baal Peh. Again, the more that you put in writing, so then the easier it is to maintain it, and the more you've safeguarded it, which is what Rabbeinu HaKadosh wanted to do. So the emphasis is, again, whether you say like Rav Shruvagon, that maybe Rabbeinu HaKadosh hadn't written it down, or whether you say like the Tosfos Yom Tov, that even if he wrote it down, but they weren't learning mitoch haksav, they didn't learn the way we learn today. That wasn't practiced during the entire tkufa of the Amoraim. And when that changed was with the Chasimus HaGemara. With the Chasimus HaGemara, so then there was this shift from the Masorah being, again, really a Masorah of Torah Sheba'al Peh, to a Masorah which also depended upon the written transmission. And because of that, there's a qualitative shift in the Masorah, and that's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said. That's why the Rambam ends his course with Rav Ashi and Ravina, because the Rambam is interested in telling us about that original Masorah And that original Masara, again, of a higher magnitude, again, not to imply, Rahman al-Islam, that we don't continue to have Masara, that there isn't a continuous Masara, but it's not of the same order, it's not of the same magnitude, that Masara only lasted until the Chasimas HaTalmud. And similarly, this concept of Tzivahu Aleha, you only had, right? So that's why we never heard of this, right? So we don't think that there's one person in each generation who's considered especially responsible for the... No, we look at all the Gedolim that way of our generation, and that's correct, because this notion which Revella and the Rav saw in terms of Vitzivahu Aleha, so that only existed within this type of Masorah, the type of Masorah that extended through the Chasimas HaTalmud, but once that Masorah was sort of, again, somewhat lowered, because now we do rely as well on a Masorah of Torah Sheba'al Peh being written, so then that notion of Tzivah Aleha also was no longer applicable within the Masorah as we transmit it now from generation to generation. The other related idea, again, this already is digressing from our Gemara, but since we're talking about the topic, the other related idea which the Rav tied into this fact, that the idea that Masorah and Balei Masorah, again, we're not just credible and reliable witnesses as to what had been said in previous generations, right? Because on that level, you couldn't distinguish between Elazar, Pinchas, and Yahushua. But there was a notion, again, of there being an official Masorah, again, which represented more than just reliability and trustworthiness. It was, again, a type of minui, a type of appointment to be, that the Masorah was delegated. So the Rav said that also accounts for something else. He had the following diuk in the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva in Perek Gimel lists those who have no chelek in Olam Haba. Many of the things he lists here correspond to the Yud Gimel Ikarim, which he has in the Perish HaMishnayos in Perek Chelek. There are a couple of others also, but many of them simply correspond to the list of the Yud Gimel Ikarim. So in this context, the Rambam writes as follows. He's talking about those who are kofer b'Torah. So he says, Shlosha hena kofer b'Torah. There are three types of people who are considered to be heretics who deny Torah. Ha'omer she'ein Torah me'im Hashem. Someone who denies that the Torah Shebichsav in its entirety is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't matter which part of Torah he denies. So he's a kofer b'Torah. Okay, that's Torah Shebichsav. Next, v'chein ha'kofer b'perusha. Who Torah Shebaal Peh, the Hamakchesh Magideha Kegon Tzaduk Ubaisos. And the second type of denial of Torah is to deny Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay. And then the third one, the Rambam says, is to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed a mitzvah. And then he says, like the Kegon HaHigrim, like the Muslims say, and the original text in the Rambam mentioned Christians also, but the censors took it out. Okay, but the Rav zeroed in here on the second one. V'chein ha-kofer b'perusha, one who denies the interpretation, v'hu Torah Shebaal Peh, the interpretation of the Torah Shebaal Sav, which is the Torah Shebaal Peh, and then ha-makrish magideha, and one who contradicts those who transmit the Masorah. So the Rav said, aren't those two phrases redundant, right? Makrish Magideho is to be Makrish Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The Torah Shebaal Peh is that the Pinchas tells me this is what the Halacha of Moshe Misina is. That Orla is operative in Chutz La'aretz also. So what's the difference? Isn't the Rambam, he's just repeating, no? To be Kofa in Torah Shebaal Peh is to be Makrish Magideho. So the Rav said, no. The Rav said again, and this follows, that this is only possible because of this basic idea which he and Rav Valvo recognized in the Rambam, again, that Masora means more than just reliable and credible transmission. Obviously it means that as well, but it means more than that. But again, there's an official Masora. An official Masora, and Yehoshua is singled out and given a mantle of being Moser of Torah. So the Rav said, part of that, one of the differences between viewing Chachmei HaMasora as just credible and reliable tape recorders, and recognizing them as Mosrim of Torah, is that what they say, Misvara, becomes part of the Masora as well. That their interpretations and understanding of the Masora, what they say Misvara, becomes part of the Masora. And that's what the Rambam means by to be kofer b'Torah Shebal Peh, means to be kofer in Eli tells you, Kach Shemati mi Pinchas, and Pinchas says, Kach Shemati mi Yeshua, and Yeshua says, Kach Shemati mi Moshe, that's a kofer b'Torah Shebal Peh. But if Eli says, I'm telling you that this is what the pshat is, and then we say, no, we don't think so. We don't think so. We think that you're just influenced by the mores of your society or something. So the Rav said, that's what the makhish magideha is. That's what the makhish magideha is. Okay, so that's the idea again, that again in terms of how it relates to our Gemara, that Talmud Torah Durabim means that it's the Talmud Torah of Mesiras HaTorah, which belongs to the Rabbim, which belongs to Klal Yisrael. And that act of Mesiras HaTorah, that clearly is qualitatively different than even many people just sitting and learning. And that's what this Gemara is singling out and saying that it's in a class of its own. It's referring to that act of Mesiras HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Udiyochid Kal. So the Gemara still is not willing to give up here. Is it really true the Talmud Torah of the Yochid is Kal from Avodah? And from Purim, right? Rashi, Talmud Torah deYochid bittel milimudo kal meavodo miPurim. The Talmud Torah deYochid, again, when it has to compete with either avodo or with Purim, is kal v'hatnan. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah noshim b'moed ma'anos avolo mitapchos? Let's follow Rashi here. Ma'anos hesped al hames. Tosfos says Ma'anos means that they had different ways of wailing and crying Acha Hamita. But Ma'anos means that it would be done in unison, that all of them would do it in unison. And Mekononos, it would be
spontaneous.
It would be that one would lead and the others would be responsive, and the others would respond. Mm-hmm. That's what those says. Ma'anos is kulan onos ka'achas, and mekononos is achas omeres ha'hashor onos. So on cholamoed, so what's allowed? So noshim b'moed ma'anos, we can have this sort of crying and wailing in unison, avolo metapchos, but you can't have. Oh, excuse me. And metapchos means that they would sort of, you know, bang either their hands together in an expression of grief, or they would bang it against their thigh or against their cheek. So b'moed ma'anos, aval lo metapchos. Rabbi Shmuel Omer im hoyu smuchos b'mito, metapchos. That if they're close to where the oil is, where the mace is, so then they're even allowed to be metapchos, which is a more intense expression of grief, of mourning. B'roshi chadoshim b'chanukah u'v'purim ma'anos u'metapchos. Right? So these things are less chomor than chol hamoed. Right? They don't have the same standing, the same status as chol hamoed. So then metapchos, as a matter of course, is permitted. However, einan mekonenos, but they can't again have the responsive elegy which they would otherwise practice. V'omer Rabbi Bar Huna, ein moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham. That all this is talking about if the mace is a regular person. But if the mace is a Talmud Chacham, so then we disregard the fact that it's Chol HaMoed. It's as if it's not Chol HaMoed. And there are no restrictions, there are no constraints on the funeral and on the expression of grief at the funeral. And the same for certainly for just for hespedim, for eulogies. And says the Gemara, if that's true, even in Chol HaMoed, even in Yom Tov D'Oraisa, so kol shekein Chanukah U'Purim, says Tosfos, kol shekein Chanukah U'Purim shemutar lahaspida, it's certainly permitted to hold a eulogy on Chanukah U'Purim for a Talmud Chacham, and without any consideration, afal gav the mevatel mimikri megillah. Even though, again, so ein moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham koshkin Chanukah U'Purim means that we disregard everything else and we just attend to the Talmud Chacham, to his funeral. Says Tosfos, and that seems to imply that if the hesped is going to result in our not reading the Megillah, so be it. So that's the Gemara's kasha, that Alma Talmud Torah Chomer mi Mikri Megillah. So we see here that no, that Torah is Chomer for Mikri Megillah. And again, doesn't this contradict the inference and the reasoning of Beis Rebbe? So answers the Gemara, Kvod Torah Ka'amris, Kvod Torah D'Yachid Chomer, Talmud Torah D'Yachid Kal. That's a very interesting answer. The Gemara says, Beis Rebbe, we're talking about Talmud Torah V'Yachid, just actual learning. The actual learning, so when you rank that against Mikra Megillah, so Mikra Megillah comes out in front. When you rank not Talmud Torah of V'Yachid, but Kavod HaTorah, so then, which is what's being manifest in the Levaya, in the funeral for a Talmud Chacham, is Kavod HaTorah, not Talmud Torah. So then Kavod HaTorah comes out in front against Megillah, right? So Kavod HaTorah is chomor from Talmud Torah. Just the other day, some Talmidim were discussing that that a Rebbe of theirs was being honored at a dinner, and so they were weighing whether to go to the dinner out of Kavod HaTorah, but then they were going to have to miss night sitting. So this Gemara came to mind. Well, that's exactly what this Gemara is saying. The Stoma Kavod HaTorah is not restricted to Rachman al-Islam, the occasion of the Levayah. There are other occasions also for Kavod HaTorah. And what this Gemara seems to say is that the Kavod HaTorah is even more chomor from Talmud Torah itself. Okay. Amir Rava, Pshita Li, Avodah Mikra Megillah, Mikra Megillah Adif. That's clear to me. How do I know? Midrav Yossi Barchanina, because that's what the Gemara darshins from Mishpacho Mishpacho and Gemara Medalef. That if we have a conflict between Avodah and Mikra Megillah, so Mikra Megillah disrupts Avodah. Talmud Torah and Mikra Megillah? What happens in the clash between Talmud Torah and Mikra Megillah? So I know that also, Rava said, that Mikra Megillah, that Mikra Megillah disrupts the Talmud Torah, midasam chushal Beis Rebbe, because of the reasoning advanced by Beis Rebbe. Talmud Torah umeis mitzvah, what happens, shifting away from Megillah for a moment, what happens if there's a competition between Talmud Torah and Meis Mitzvah? So then Meis Mitzvah adif. Midasanya mevatlin Talmud Torah v'hotzas ha-meis u'l'hachnas t'skala. So the, again, not only of a Meis Mitzvah is doche Talmud Torah. Now, Avoda u'meis mitzvah. Avoda u'meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah adif there as well. How do I know that? Mevila achosa. What happens if there's a clash between burying a meis mitzvah, and avoda? So the din is that meis mitzvah is adif. How do you know that? Disanyo. Vila achosa ma talmud lama. Right? So Rashi here, we have to see the Rashi. Rashi gives us the background. We're sort of jumping in midstream here in this brisa. So if you take a look in Rashi, it's the second line in the narrow lines in Rashi. So the Torah says that a nozik can't be matami to anyone. Al nefesh meis lo yovel, no exceptions. Harei hakol b'mashma. Hodik siv basrei kroy yisera, then the Torah seemingly superfluously says that la'aviv, la'imo, la'ochiv, la'achoso, he can't be metame to any of them. I already know that he can't be metame to any of them, because the Torah told us, al nefesh meis lo yavo. So clearly, what the Sifri says, is clearly each of these is implying a different exception, right? I told you al nefesh meis lo yavo, so that applies to the father, mashma, the someone to whom it doesn't apply. That applies even to the mother, mashma again, there's yet someone else to whom this doesn't apply, right? So each unnecessary, seemingly unnecessary reinforcement is actually hinting at an exception, right? So that's why, even though the pasuk is telling us what to whom he shouldn't be metame, we're inferring yet another exception where he would be metame, right? That's what Rashi explains. So how did we account for Oviv, Imo, and Ochiv before we got to Achoso? So Rashi tells us, that the nozi can't be metame to his father. Again, I really would have known that from al nefesh meis lo yavo. So why do I need this? Because it's implying avo metame hu lemeis mitzvah. But he is metame to a meis mitzvah, right? If there's a meis who's that there's no one else available to bury him, so he has to be metame to the meis mitzvah. Le'imo ma talmud lomar. What's the exception which is intimated by Le'imo? Shem hoya kohen v'nozir. What happens if, in addition to being a nozir, and as such he shouldn't be metame l'meisim, he's also a kohen? He has both kedushos, afal pisha kodesh beis kedushos. Nevertheless, Le'imo lo yitama, but avol metame hu l'meis mitzvah. He's metame l'meis mitzvah even though he has to violate not only kedushas nozir, but kedushas kohen as well. So that's la'aviv l'imo. What accounts for la'achiv? La'achiv shem hoya kohen gadol v'nozir. What if he was not only a kohen and a nozir, but he's a kohen gadol and a nozir? Nevertheless,